How are we doing, CCV? We good? Well, I'm so glad you made the choice to be here today. It's going to be a great, great study as we continue this series called The Power of One. And today, as we get started, I want to ask you to do something that may feel a little bit strange, but I want to ask you to just pretend that you are not at church. Okay, I just want you to just kind of get in this mindset, forget that you are here, and instead, here's what I want you to do. Just imagine that you are just sitting, grabbing a coffee with a friend or with a family member, a coworker, a classmate, maybe one of your neighbors. It's just a couple of coffees. It's just you two sitting and getting a little time together, and you're just talking about all kinds of normal things. If you're a student, maybe you're talking about your favorite teacher, or more likely, your less favorite teacher. Maybe you're talking about a big test that's coming up or something like that. If you're an adult, maybe you're talking about your kids, your family, work, a vacation that you really need. Maybe if you're an adult or a kid, doesn't matter, maybe you're talking about the Super Bowl next Sunday and how Denver is going to win the Super Bowl next weekend. It could be. I don't know. Or maybe, okay. Maybe you're talking about the Super Bowl and how the Seahawks are going to win the Super Bowl next weekend. Or maybe you don't even really care about the Super Bowl. You don't care who wins. You're a Niners fan, actually, so who cares? Right? Or maybe you're just talking about the incredible winter weather that we have here in Arizona. You're just talking about normal things. And then, all of a sudden, the conversation takes a spiritual turn. And the person that you are sitting with starts to ask you questions about the church or God or the Bible. Has this ever happened to you? You ever been just sitting having a coffee with someone and it takes a turn? Or maybe you're not having coffee. Maybe you are at the gym working out. Or maybe you're sitting on a plane and somebody sits beside you on the plane. Or maybe you're at school. Or maybe you're in the office and the conversation takes this turn. What do you do? Do you get nervous? Do you just kind of ignore it? Do you kind of just say, oh, what did you say? I didn't hear you. Or do you kind of quickly try and turn the conversation to a safer subject? Or do you just go with it? You see, this can be a kind of a scary moment for many of us. Because when we get into a conversation like this, whether it's at school, at work, on a plane, having coffee, a lot of times we don't really know if we know enough about the Bible, or about God, or about our own faith to really get into this kind of spiritual conversation. And if we go too far down this road, we may actually just mess up the message of Jesus. And so we just kind of avoid it. And I can understand that feeling. But I also want you to know that in the Bible, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says this, "But in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared." Everybody say always. Always. Always be prepared. Not sometimes, not when you feel like it, not on your good days. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Here's what I want to do today. I want to show you where you can direct that spiritual conversation with confidence, and how you can help invite a person into a new adventure with Jesus. If you're taking notes today on the program you got when you came in, or maybe you've downloaded the app, and so you're taking notes on your phone or your tablet, here's the first thing I want you to fill in today. That is that one invitation can change a person's life and eternity. Just one simple invitation can completely change a person's life and eternity. It's true. In fact, just take a moment here and listen to Tim's story. Tim attends CCV out at our Scottsdale campus, and he talks about the power of one invitation. Take a look at this.
In my life, I always was climbing the corporate ladder, trying to get to the top. And I think I got pretty close to the top. I thought I was done. And didn't have anything more to give or to accomplish. I accomplished everything. I had pretty much every toy there was to have. I was CEO of a number of companies, and I was also a CEO Christian, Christmas and Easter only, and I was always a highly ethical and moral person, but I never had God fully in my life. One day I looked and realized I had nothing. I was empty. There's that saying, it's lonely at the top, and it was very lonely at the top, but it's not lonely anymore. A friend of mine invited me to his neighborhood group. I politely declined. He asked a number of additional times. He was very persistent, but I was equally as persistent and declined. One day he invited me down for a barbecue. Said he threw some pork in his smoker and we're gonna do pulled pork. So I figured that can't hurt. So I went down for the barbecue. It was actually a church function. They were doing some baptisms in the pool, but there was plenty of pulled pork, so I was good. He invited me again to that neighborhood group. And this time I accepted. And then the Scottsdale campus opened here at CCV and he invited me to come to church. So I accepted and we came to church and we haven't missed a weekend since. That invitation changed not only me, but it changed my whole family. You know, my wife serves in children's ministries. My youngest son, Cole, a few months ago, when he was 19, he got baptized. This past week, he decided to step up as a neighborhood group leader himself. It's been incredible, the work that God has done through us and everyone in our family. You know, had I not had that pulled pork sandwich that day, I probably would still be drifting. It changed everything. I could do anything I want in business right now, but this is what's important, God's mission and God's word. That one invitation really changed my life and the lives of a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, as you can see, and as you know in your mind, the power of one invite is really incredible. And if you've been in church a lot or you've been in church a little, you are probably aware that the message of Jesus has traveled throughout the centuries by just one person inviting one person, who invites one person, who invites one, who invites one, who invites one, for like 2,000 years. That's the way the message of Jesus has gone. So here's what I want to do today. For like the next 20 minutes or so, I just want to show you how you can invite a person into an adventure with Jesus. And I know when I say you think I'm talking about the you next to you. No, I mean you. Right? Okay, just want to be clear on that. I'm talking to every single one of you who is gathered here. I want to show you how you can invite a person into an adventure with Jesus. So again, just imagine as we travel today that you are just sitting having coffee with somebody, or you're at school, or you're at the office, just this conversation that's going on, and then it takes a spiritual turn, even just a little spiritual turn. I want to show you where you can direct that turn in the conversation and how you can lead somebody towards Jesus with just one verse. One verse. Staying with the theme, the power of one, just one verse. You don't have to know 15 or 20 verses from the Old Testament and the New Testament. That's good if you do, but just one single verse. And that verse is this, Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. It's going to be up on the screen. It's already written in your notes in the program. It's already on the app. I had my wife write that verse out very legibly on this handy flip chart. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, that's what we're going to talk about and study today as we learn how to invite a person into an adventure with Jesus. Here's what I want us to do. I want us just to read this together out loud in your biggest, like, I'm a great reader type of voice, okay? Here we go. Ready? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. With that one single solitary verse, you can lead a person into an adventure with Jesus. And by the way, I need you to know you can do this. You can share this message on just the back of a regular old napkin. This is like a Starbucks napkin, and I have the verse written on this other side of it. Several times throughout the course of my life, I've been sitting with somebody for coffee, and a conversation takes a spiritual turn, and so I just write this verse down on the napkin, and then I just kind of talk them through this verse the way we're going to do today. And you can do this just on the back of a napkin. So here's the first thing we're going to do to dive in. In your notes, I want to ask you to put a box around the word wages, and then I want to ask you just to write the word wages over here on the left-hand side of your paper, or fill in that blank in your app, whatever it is. If we were just sitting down having a coffee together, I would ask you, what do you think about when you hear the word wages? And you may say something like, well, I think of a payment or a check. I think of something that I work for. It's something I earn. It's something I deserve, right? It's something that I expect to get back in my life. It's a wage. Let me also ask you this. Have you ever worked for someone in your life and then not receive the wages that you expected or you deserved? Man, that's frustrating, isn't it? I mean, that's happened to me several times in my life. The very first time I can remember it happening, I have to go all the way back to high school. And this is probably more information than you want about me, but when I was in high school, I was a DJ, okay? And yeah, this was back in the late 90s, and so of course I had all the Adidas sweatsuits, you know, and gold chains and turntables, and you know, it was amazing. And so many times I would sit up at proms and wedding receptions and things like that, and I can remember specifically several wedding receptions where I sat up for several hours, DJed this thing, and then never got paid. And they headed out on the honeymoon forgetting about me, and I was upset. Because I'd worked, I'd earned these wages, I deserved this. And so when you think about wages, that's kind of what you usually think about. Now go back to the verse and put a box around the word sin. And just write the word sin right underneath the word wages there. What do you think about when you hear somebody say the word sin? Maybe you think about messing up. Maybe you think about some kind of shortcomings, or maybe you think about some guilt that you have in your life, or some pain that you've caused somebody. Maybe it brings about shame. Maybe when you think about sin or somebody says the word sin, it automatically in your mind makes you think of some habit or some addiction that you're wrestling with right now that you know isn't good. There's probably lots of things that we think about when we hear the word sin. For me, whenever I start thinking about sin, I have this kind of weird mental picture come to my mind, and it goes all the way back several years ago when I was watching TV is where this kind of formulated. I was watching like the Nature Channel or Animal Planet or something like that, and I need you to know I don't watch a lot of Animal Planet. If I do, I'm usually watching very manly shows like about bears and elephants and things like that. But on this specific occasion, I'm watching this show about birds. And it was eagles, so that's okay. And I'm watching this show, and it's got these eagles on there, and they're just like soaring. They have their wings out, you know, really far, and they're like soaring up. And it's maybe like Colorado or something like that, because they're soaring over this lake. It's just like crystal clear. And it's just amazing. It's just like majestic. And then all of a sudden you see this eagle like tuck its wings in, and it just dive bombs down into this lake. Maybe you've seen something like that happen before. And it latches its claws onto this fish, and it just goes back and starts flapping up into there. This is exactly what it looks like right here on television. And it goes back up into the air, and it's just kind of like just amazing to watch. And you can tell that it's planning on taking this fish like over to the land, so it can eat this fish. And it's showing this on television where you have this eagle and it's got this fish and it's headed toward the land, but the closer this eagle's getting to the land, the closer it's getting to the water, and closer to the land, the closer to the water. And pretty soon it becomes apparent to everyone watching, and the eagle, by the way, that it's not gonna make it to the land. And so you see this eagle on this show. It's trying like crazy to let go of this fish. It's trying to let go of it out of its claws, and it can't. It is like stuck into this thing. And it shows the eagle hit into the water and just flailing all around, doing whatever it can to release this fish, and it can't. And it gets pulled down underneath the water and drowns by this huge fish. And when I think of sin, that's kind of how I picture it. I didn't at that moment when I was watching, but as I formulate it in my mind now, that's kind of how I see it. Makes sense, doesn't it, that we are just kind of soaring over our life, over our homes, over our neighborhood. We're soaring over our school as a student or over the marketplace wherever we work, and it feels good and majestic, and we see something down there in our lives that we really want. We don't know if it's the best it could be, but we latch our life into it, our arms, our heart, our mind, our soul. We latch into it, and we just kind of head back up into the air, and we say to ourselves, you know what, maybe I shouldn't have a hold of this, but I'm fine. I know I can do good with this. I can let go of this whenever I need to. I can let go of this habit whenever I want. But what we fail to realize is that there comes this point when we no longer have a hold of the sin, but the sin has a hold of us. And no matter how hard we try, We can't let it go. We want to. It's detrimental. It's pulling us down. And maybe some of you feel that way right now with some of the habits or addictions in your life. They just feel like they're pulling you down to feel like you're drowning in them. That's what sin does in our lives. And back in the verse, do this. Put a box around the word death. And then just write it down at the bottom of the page. What do you think about when you hear the word death? Maybe you think about heaven or hell, fear, anxiety, sadness, separation, all sorts of things, I'm sure. And what you're probably realizing is that if we just left this verse this way today and ended the message right here, it would be pretty sad, wouldn't it? It would be pretty depressing. Hey, thanks, Todd. The wages of my sin lead to death. That's just wonderful. I'm so glad I came to church today. This is awesome. And I invited a friend, so this is just double great. They're probably glad they're here, that we're all going to die in our sin. That's awesome message. Can we just leave now? But here's the good news. There's good news. There really is. Continue on. Do this. Put a box around the word but. Box around the word, but, one T, okay? That's for the junior hires in the room, okay? And all the guys. The word but, this may be the most important word in the whole verse. It really may, because this signifies that there's more. The wages of our sin is death, but there's more to come. We've talked about the bad news, now let's talk about the good news. So do this, put a box around the word gift and write the word gift up here over on the other side of your notes or fill that in your app or whatever it is you're doing. What do you think about when somebody starts talking about a gift? If you and I were just sitting here, you may say things like, I don't know, it's something that is free. It's something that's unexpected. It's a surprise in my life. And if we were just having a coffee together, I would probably say, hey, tell me about one of the best gifts you've ever got. And I would listen to you tell about the best gift, and then I may share with you one of the best gifts I've ever received in my life. I would probably go all the way back to when I was just becoming a teenager. I was 13. On my 13th birthday, one of the greatest gifts I've ever got, my dad got me my very own checking account. It was amazing. I had this little book full of checks. A lot of the students have no idea what I'm talking about. They were little pieces of paper that you could sign your name on and buy things with them. They were called checks. We had them a long, long time ago. And in the you got to be current, right? In the ledger, which is where the balance is, it said right there in my little checkbook, it said right in the ledger in the balance, it said $50. That was my balance. My dad had went ahead and put $50 into my account. And I thought, I am the richest kid in the world. I mean, how will I ever spend $50? This is unbelievable. And that was an incredible gift to me. It was something I didn't earn. It was something I didn't deserve. It was a surprise. And that's what you think about when you think about a gift. But here's where the study of this verse gets interesting today. A gift is also the opposite of what? A wage. It's the opposite of a wage. A wage is something you expect. A wage is something you earn. A wage is something that you know is coming, whereas a gift is just something that's completely a surprise and it's unexpected. They're opposites. So there's this gift in your life, and who wants to give you this gift? Put a box around the word God and just write God right down below the word gift in your notes, on your app. What do you think about when you think about God? That's probably a whole message that we should do sometime, a whole study, because one of the most important things, I promise you this, one of the most important things in your life is what you think about when you think about God. It determines a lot. Maybe when you think about God, you think of perfect, pure, holy, those sorts of things. Maybe for some of you, you think, when I think about God, I think about, well, that's the person who's definitely upset with me. Or, well, I don't know about everything I say about God, but I'm sure he's disappointed with where I am right now. Or maybe you think generous or loving. There's all kinds of things we think about when we start thinking about God, but I think something we could all agree on, again, whether you've been in church a lot or a little, one thing we could all agree on is that God is also the opposite of what? Sin. God's going to be the opposite of sin. If sin is dark and bad and terrible, God is going to be the complete opposite of that. He's going to be light and he's going to be pure and he's going to be perfect. They're opposites. And God wants to give you this gift. And what is this gift that God wants to give you? Put a box around the words eternal life. And then just write that down here on the very bottom. Eternal life. Again, a lot of things that you may think about when you think about eternal life, but maybe one of the easiest ways to describe it would just be to say that it's the opposite of what? Death. Death is done. It's final. It's over. Eternal life is the beginning. It's new. It's not over. They're opposites. And so here you have it. And it's just this one verse. You have the wages of our sin that is death. But you have this gift that God wants to give you, and the gift is eternal life. And then here's the million-dollar question that I would share with you, that you could share with someone else as you invite them into an adventure with Jesus. Here's the million-dollar question. How do you get from this side to this side? How do you get from death to life? What words are left in this verse that are unboxed, that we could possibly put boxes around? I would suggest to you these. Christ Jesus. Just put a box around Christ Jesus, and then right in the middle of your kind of your notes there in your paper, just draw like a bridge and write Christ Jesus. If you want, you can even draw like a cross down the middle there. Christ Jesus is the only way for you and I to move from our sin to life. It's only through Jesus Christ. Jesus laid down his life on a cross so that you and I could have this gift of eternal life. And so right there, in just that one verse, is a simple way for you to invite a person into an adventure with Jesus. And here's what I want us to think about and kind of wrestle with today. I want to share the takeaway with you just a little bit early because I want us to unpack it. But this is what I really want you to wrestle with pertaining to this study. Here's the takeaway today. Do you need to accept or share this message? In your life, what do you think? Do you need to accept it into your life, or do you need to share this with other people? Because we're probably in one of two places. Some of you, you know, you need to accept it. You're sitting here listening today, but you can see yourself in this little diagram. You can see yourself in this verse, and you're thinking to yourself, Todd, as you're talking about that, I know I have some sin in my life right now, in the past. I have some sin right now in the present. I'm pretty sure I'm going to have some in the future. Todd, I kind of feel like when you're talking about the eagle and not being able to release that thing, that's me. I feel like I'm drowning at times, and you need to accept this today. You need to move from death to life today, and the way you do that, friend, is by accepting Christ Jesus into your life. That he takes away your sin, that he removes it as far as the east is from the west, and he gives you a brand new life, eternal life with him, not because you're perfect, but because he's perfect. And you could talk to a friend about that today who brought you here to CCV, or as we get ready to head out of this room in a little bit over at the Info Center, there's lots of neighborhood pastors there who would love to talk with you about how to accept Jesus into your life and how to make this decision in your life even today. Some of you need to accept it. Others of you need to share it. You know that's true. You need to share this message with someone, and maybe that someone is already even on your mind. Just like we talked about at the beginning of the message, one invitation can change a person's life and eternity. It's amazing. It really can. Just one invitation can change a person's life and eternity. It's true. But you know what else is also true? Tragically, statistics say this, that 75 to 80% of Christians will die without ever inviting anyone to know Jesus. Does that blow your mind? It kind of does me, but yet as I look at my friendships and relationships, it seems rather true that 75 to 80% of us will die and go to heaven without ever inviting anyone to go there with us. It just seems amazing to me that that can happen. And part of the big reason that that happens in our lives, I know, is because when it boils down to it, we have some sort of fear, some sort of apprehension. And maybe you're thinking, Todd, yeah, I hate to admit it, but that's kind of me. If I got into a situation like this that you're talking about at work or at coffee or at school or on an airplane or something like that, I'm afraid I don't know enough. I'm afraid that person is going to start asking me questions that I don't know, like, how many sons did Abraham have? Or did Adam have a belly button? I don't know. Or where did all the dinosaurs go? Or how old is our earth? Or what's the deal with Revelation? And Todd, I don't know how to answer all those questions. And you know what? I understand that. And here's what I would say to you. You do not have to know how to answer all those questions. I mean, if you do, that's great. If you learn those answers, if you learn how to come back and share and talk, that's fantastic, but you don't have to. All you need to know is this one single verse in order to invite somebody into an adventure with Jesus. And you can sit down with that person at coffee as the conversation takes a spiritual turn and they ask about all those things, and you can look at them and say, hey, you know what? Listen, I don't know what happened to the dinosaurs, and I do not understand hardly anything about Revelation, but I do know this. I know that the wages of our sin lead us to death. But that's not all. I know there's this incredible, great God who wants to give us a gift, and it's eternal life. And the way you get that is through Christ Jesus, our Lord. And you can just write that out on the back of a napkin, and you can work through those boxes, and you can invite somebody into an adventure with Jesus just right on the back of a napkin, and then just say, hey, keep the napkin, with just one verse. And by the way, do you know what Jesus thinks about all this? He actually shares this with us, what he thinks about conversations like this that we're having or maybe not having or avoiding, what he thinks about verses and studies like this. Here's what Jesus himself says about this in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33. Jesus says this, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men or before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. And so what Jesus is saying is that if you will just speak up for me here on earth, I'll speak up for you someday in heaven. Here's the thing. If you would just take a stand for me here, I will one day, this is going to be amazing, you will see me taking a stand for you one day in heaven. And some of you, listen, some of you need to accept Jesus into your life today. You need to say, hey, listen, I've been to church a long time, but I've never really taken a stand for Jesus, and I've never been baptized into Jesus. I want to take a stand for Jesus here on earth, so he will take a stand for me one day in heaven. You need to accept this message into your life today, like this weekend. Others of you, you need to share it. You need to share this message with others that you know in your life. And let me just share one other thing, and I'll just kind of wrap this up about sharing this message, because some of you still have a little bit of nerves about sharing this message. Let me just share this. The power is not in the presentation. The power is in the fact that this is the Word of God. That's where the power is. Well, Todd, I don't know if I can do that just like you did. That's okay, because the power's not in the presentation. The power is in the fact that this is Scripture, that is the Word of God, that is living and active, and that is true. You may, if you're sharing this with somebody, you know, you may just kind of get all confused, and you're, okay, let's sit down, let's talk about it, and write it out on a napkin. Okay, here's the first thing I want you to do. Put a box around the word of, okay? Ah, no, wait a minute. I don't think it was of. Ah, that's like a connector word. No, don't do of, do sin, okay? And you know what? The first two or three times you do this, you may mess the whole thing up and have boxes all over the place. That's okay. That's okay. Because I promise you, the power is not in the presentation. The power is in the fact that this is the Word of God. And He will honor it. And guess what? You can do this. You can do this. And furthermore, you need to. You need to. You know why? Because heaven is counting on you. What? It's true. Heaven is counting on you. I have this picture in my mind of Jesus as He gets back up to heaven after He's died and been crucified on this earth. He gets back up to heaven, and some of the angels gather around Him, and they say, Jesus, are you okay? I mean, we saw what happened down there. You were beaten and mocked and crucified and rose again. Are you okay? And Jesus looks at him and says, yeah, I'm okay. I think I'll be fine, and I'm here. And one of the other angels pipes up and says, now, does everyone down there know what you did for them? Does everyone know all the things you've done, that how much you love them and how much you care for them and how you gave your life for them? Does everybody know that? And Jesus looks right at that angel and says, no. Not everybody knows that. And another angel pipes up and says, well, then what have you done to let everybody know about what you've done for them? And Jesus says, okay, are you ready for this? Here's the plan. What I've done is this. I've grabbed a few guys. I've grabbed Peter and James and John, and I've asked them to invite others. And my hope is that then they'll invite others. And then they'll invite others, and they'll invite others, and they'll invite others. That's the plan. And you know what? I think it's quiet in heaven for a long time. And finally, one of the brave angels pipes up and says, Jesus, I mean, that's a good plan. I mean, you're Jesus. I don't want to argue with you because you're Jesus. But I mean, don't you have any other plans? I mean, what if we get into the, 1,000 years or 2,000 years into the future? What if people forget this? That's the plan? Or what if people have all kinds of other things going on? Or what if they get fearful? Or what if they get sidetracked with all sorts of other things? I mean, surely you've made some kind of other plan, right? And I think Jesus looks right at that angel the way I would look at you right now, and Jesus says, no. There's no other plan. I'm counting on them. That's the plan. So CCV, may you realize today the power of one invite to change a person's life in eternity. And may you share this message this week with boldness and confidence. Let's pray. God, thanks for today. Thanks for the opportunity that we have to gather in here and sing together and just kind of recalibrate and refocus our hearts towards you in this week. God, thank you so much for half hour or so to carve out where we can study your word and kind of pull a verse apart and just realize that we can invite somebody to know you and with a single verse and how powerful that is. God, I pray for those who need to accept this, who need to take a stand for Jesus for the first time, realizing that he will then take a stand for them. And God, also for those who need to share it this week, that you would just give them confidence and boldness, that they would just give this a shot this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.